The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot in the United States.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
contenders. How about hypnosis? Let's get some
psychosis. Psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to The WrestleCast, episode 285. It's your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host from The Rawcast, and none other than Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
Hey, man. It was a hard show on Sunday, and kind of recapping everything that's coming up from it.
It wasn't a hard show for you. Off the top, I'd like to congratulate you on winning Who You Got for Extreme Rules. Five correct answers to four. You really won before the...
It's a controversy there, man. Some controversy, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, you know, always got to have a little controversy there. It sells. Right. But yeah, congratulations to you for knowing how the booking was going to go more than I did. So you actually won before the main event took place. So you kind of lapped me on that.
I told you my sleeper pick was just that.
Thanks to everybody who joined us this past Sunday for hashtag ExtremeCast. We definitely appreciate everybody sharing their commentary with color, adding to the festivities that was Extreme Rules. And so we're going to get right into that. Last minute announcement. It was announced that Kevin Owens and Murphy were going to wrestle on the kickoff show. Kevin Owens was shocked. He was like, oh, I guess I need to get over there. We'll have a match tonight. Buddy Murphy goes for a suplex, but Owens knocks him back down to the mat and follows up with a gorgeous moonsault for a two count. Murphy heads back up top and again goes for a meteora. Owens sidesteps Murphy, counters with the super kick. That allows Kevin Owens to hit the stunner. And Kevin Owens gets the three count. And then after the match, he basically told Buddy Murphy, man, you real good. You too good to be in somebody else's shadow.
Oh, man. You hit him when it hurts.
So I guess some of y'all saw this. Some of y'all didn't, because it's still always say no to pre-shows. When it comes to the WrestleCast, shout out to Miss Didi Jonet. So, yeah, but this was
I like this match, though. It was a pretty good match.
Man, Buddy Murphy can go, dude.
He can go.
It doesn't matter who is with. He can go.
I agree.
He had a great series of matches in 205 Live with Cedric Alexander. Yes. He moved to Raw and had those great matches with Aleister Black. He's had some really good matches with Kevin Owens on TV. So, I mean, they treat him like Sammy Guevara, though. They beat him too much. He needs to find a way to win some of these matches every once in a while just to change it up. But, yeah, man, the dude can go.
But just think back of his career in the company, where he came from. They were on top of him and the other guy, the Forgotten Son guy now.
Oh, Wesley Blake.
Yeah, Wesley Blake. They were one of the hottest tag teams in the NXT they had, but Alexa Bliss was on the Rocket, and she took off.
Yep, and overshined both of them.
Right, took off.
She was their manager at the time, for those who weren't watching NXT 5 years ago.
Right. She took off like a rocket and didn't even look back. And he came up and had those matches on 205 Live, and everybody was like, hey, this guy can really go. And then he, like you say, went to Raw, had good matches with Aleister Black. And, you know, he can really go in the ring. He's one of those guys that if you're looking in for a good match, he's going to give you one.
Most definitely.
He's not a slouch.
Oh, yeah, definitely not a slouch. Next up, The New Day defending their SmackDown Tag Team titles against Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura in a tables match. The action spills to the outside. Kingston levels Cesaro with a leaping clothesline off the ring steps. Kingston drags Cesaro back into the ring and takes him up top. Kingston goes for a hurricanrana through the stacked tables, but Cesaro blocks it, and with Nakamura's help, they powerbomb Kofi Kingston through the stacked tables, and we have new SmackDown Tag Team Champions in the form of Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Kofi died in that.
We tip before they do your memories.
Yes. That man, he went to them tables, and this is how it looked. And he was just laying there for a good while. And he was just like, yo, you gonna help my man up? That he was just there. It's like a car crash. You just had to stop and look at it like, that's goddamn art right there. And after the match, you know, they went to the table and was like, you know, we told you we deserve. We deserve respect around here, and you know they do. You know, because Cesaro is like one of the best wrestlers in the world, and you know, just him being just being not even a big part of the program here is disappointing. You know,
like but this match a lot.
I did too. As soon as I seen Kofi go up, I was like, oh. That's a point for me
because
he came to the tables. I was like,
"Woo!" Where do you think this leads New Day? Do you think that they're gonna maybe go into some singles action now? I mean, are we really interested in watching them go after the titles for the ninth time?
I really want to see Big E get a title run. I mean, I don't know what's the problem with Bruce Pritchard doesn't see or what Vince doesn't see. I'm like, you have somebody who can really go in the ring. Why not give him a run at Braun Strowman or something like that? You know, or it might be teasing a breakup because they've been together for years.
Nah, they shouldn't break them up. They should just let them go on their separate paths. Like if Kofi wants to try to get the world title again, go against Strowman, or Big E wants to go against Strowman and let Kofi go against AJ for the Intercontinental title or something like that, but still be the New Day, you know?
Oh, I get that and everything. It's just, we want something different. I'm like, let Big E get a title run. I mean, come on now.
Right, right. Speaking of title runs, the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion, Bayley, with Sasha Banks, a.k.a. the Two Women Power Trip.
Yes.
She's going to face off against Nikki Cross, who has Alexa Bliss by her side. Bayley charges at Nikki Cross in the corner, but Nikki Cross sidesteps her and Bayley slams face first into the middle turnbuckle. Nikki hits a neck breaker off the apron before heading back into the ring. Banks hands Bayley her boss five-finger ring and then distracts the referee while Bayley punches Cross in the ribs. Bayley follows up with the rose plant, and Bayley gets the three count to retain the SmackDown Women's title.
Oh, man. Heel tactics, getting the victory is what I like to see.
Nikki Cross clearly watched the Candice LeRae and Mia Yim street fight and the finish to that, which was the Mrs. LeRae's wild ride, which was they were on that stack table, that table bridge onto those, and then she did the net breaker off onto those stack of table chairs. But yeah, Nikki Cross did this off the apron onto the hard floor. It's like, ooh, that looked like that hurt. Nikki Cross went back to the sanity days here for a second, and she really had a good match here. The way that they teased this up, Alexa Bliss was kind of giving her a pep talk, talking about, you know, she can win, she will win, she's strong, she's able. And
Kari
Singh too. And then now that she lost, I wonder what kind of direction that's going to send Nikki Cross spiraling down into. Great heel tactics by Sasha Banks and Bayley. The boss, the five finger boss ring coming into play here. So
and then
good.
The setup at the end with the boss ring and the Bayley logo on the ring apron was too.
Yep. Because it's all about staging, folks. Apollo Crews was set to defend his United States Championship against MVP, but it is announced that Apollo Crews is still not medically cleared to compete after being attacked by Bobby Lashley last month on Monday Night Raw. So MVP comes down to the ring with Bobby Lashley and says that he is the new United States Champion since Apollo Crews has technically forfeited the match.
His controversy number one, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody on this episode right now claimed victory. And I'm just like, how you claim victory? There was no match.
The match was forfeited, so we had a winner in the form of MVP, sir.
But he ain't the champion, though.
What you talking about? What you mean? Possession is 9/10 of the law.
WWE.com says he ain't the champion.
WWE.com is spreading rumors and lies. I seen it with my own two eyes.
We all seen it.
So I guess when Apollo Crews is officially like healthy enough to wrestle, whatever is going on with him, hopefully, you know, he's healthy and safe. Maybe he just has some family issues going on because he does have, you know, a new family, young family and everything. Maybe they'll have like a unification match where the new belt will officially be like, you know, the official title.
I like CM Punk and Cena in 2011.
Right. But yeah, this is just another little feather in the MVP cap. Just
we're gonna talk about why he is definitely the best thing going in the company. You know, later on in the episode, we're gonna talk about what he's doing.
Oh yeah. Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins, eye for an eye match. The reason why most of the people came to watch this event was for the intrigue of how they were going to pull this off. So Rey Mysterio tries to ground Rollins' eye into the corner of the ring steps, but Rollins counters with a low blow. Rollins drives Mysterio's head into the barricade and follows up with the stomp. Rollins grinds Mysterio's previously injured right eye into the corner of the steps. Mysterio's eye pops out and Seth Rollins wins the match. But when he sees the results of his actions, he starts heaving and it eventually leads to Seth vomiting at ringside. Dominic Guerrero comes down to ringside to help his stepfather out. They get him back to the back and Seth Rollins is still sick on his stomach.
I almost spit my water out when you said that. That's never not gonna make me laugh when he ain't say that.
A lot of people were extremely disappointed in this finish because they wanted to see a man's eyeball hanging on his cheek.
They really wanted to see an actual eyeball out. I'm like, you know they can't.
And they did not deliver quite to that extent. They did kind of have one of those faraway shots where it looked like Ray was holding his eye in place, per se, quote unquote. So that was kind of the closest thing you got to seeing maybe the eye actually pop out. But yeah,
I think they had another finished tape for this match, but Vince didn't like it, so it went in another direction.
So, your assessment, sir, were you disappointed that you didn't see a man's eye rolling out on the mat out there, ringside?
I knew that it wasn't going to be no actual eye. It was a pretty good match up until...
It was a damn good match, and they worked around the stipulation beautifully.
They did.
It was just, you know, they were just boxed in by that stipulation. Now, if this just would have been like, hey... I'm coming back, Seth. You hurt my eye, but I'm coming back for revenge. And if I happen to take your eye, then, you know, so be it. It'll be an eye for an eye. And still had the same match. Oh, people would have been raving. Like, that's the best Rey Mysterio match I've seen in a long time.
But you saying you're going to leave without an eye kind of put you in a space like, how's this going to work?
Yeah, Ray took some pretty rough bumps to be out there wrestling without a contract, too.
Yeah, he did.
know, I don't know about some of those things he was doing. I was like, hey, buddy, I'm not under contract. We can't do that. Sorry, Seth. Great idea. Check back with me in about 2 weeks. If we happen to run this back, yeah, we can do that. Because then I'll be under contract.
Right.
And I won't be clearing this $500 for the night or whatever they paid him.
We paid him $500 for that match. That's a severe slap in the face.
I don't know what it was, but I know it wouldn't have been the same amount he would have been if he was under contract.
If you think about Ray's longevity, history with the company, you know, he probably got a little something, but, you know, he worked without a contract, so basically it is kind of iffy right there.
Definitely, definitely iffy. Next up, Asuka, accompanied by Kairi Sane, is defending her Raw Women's Championship against Sasha Banks, who has Bayley at ringside with her. Asuka locks in the Asuka lock, so Bayley tosses in one of the tag titles into the ring. Banks taps to the Asuka lock, but the referee is distracted by the tag team title in the ring and doesn't see it. Banks then picks up the title and then starts to argue with the referee about her using the title. That's when Asuka comes from behind and spits the green miss, but Sasha ducks and she missed the referee instead. Bayley takes advantage of the blinded referee, knocks out Asuka with the title. Then Bayley pulls the referee's shirt off of the referee, puts it on, pulls Banks on top of Asuka and makes the three count. And we have a new Raw Women's Champion.
His controversy number two. A lot of people in the hashtag, I think it was probably was Tom Phillips or Byron Saxon. He was like, it doesn't count. This doesn't count because Bayley's not a referee. And Bayley, she had to make the quick decision there because the match had to continue. But I enjoyed this match. The ending, I was wondering how this was going to play out. I thought it was going to play out Asuka winning when Sasha said, this is my championship. I said, oh no. You say you make a declaration like that in the match, you about to lose. But then everything else happened. I was just like, oh. I actually thought Kairi Sane was hoping Kairi Sane would kind of mess it up and then Asuka lose because of that. But that didn't happen. So
the placement for that match was kind of weird because it came right after the Seth Rollins match. So it was like, yeah, people were already like, oh man, that finish was and then they followed it up with this finish and people were like, oh my gosh, this is they had such a great match. They had like a 4-star match and it's like, and this is the finish they came up with. But it's all about ratings, folks. More people will see what we're going to talk about a little bit later on than will watch whatever they put on the network. So a lot of times when you see these screwy finishes on the pay-per-views, that means that they're about to build up something for TV. And that's exactly what we found out was going to happen here.
Yep.
So Drew McIntyre versus Dolph Ziggler. You know what I liked about this show? It was put together like a New Japan show. It just kept building. It just went from, it didn't have like a buffer match. It was just like tag team title match, women's championship match, eye for an eye match, women's championship match, universal championship match, main event, swamp fight. It didn't like have that weak ass buffer match in between.
Right. They used to do, but it would be like, oh, all of a sudden you would see some random come out there, like, oh, they need to, I guess, a buffer match to come down off of this match and everything. So, yeah, it didn't do that. It didn't play out like that. So I was kind of happy to see that.
So Drew McIntyre versus Dolph Ziggler, WWE Championship match. Dolph Ziggler gets to pick the stipulation for the match. So Ziggler reveals that the stipulation for this match is Extreme Rules, but only for him, not Drew McIntyre. In addition, if McIntyre gets counted out or disqualified, Ziggler will win the championship. So they head to the outside, and Ziggler super kicks McIntyre onto a table. Ziggler heads up top, and he hits a diving elbow drop through the table. McIntyre gets back into the ring, and he hits the Glasgow Kiss. Ziggler fights back with the Famister and then a Uranagi onto a chair. Ziggler is then setting up for a Sweet Chin Music, but McIntyre counters with the Claymore, and he gets the three count, and Drew McIntyre retained the WWE Championship.
Man, that Claymore came out of nowhere, and it was so sweet.
They did a very good job of building the matchup inside the match. I think they did they delivered a lot more than the build to the match did. They gave Dolph one really good near fall where you thought for a second, oh, just for a split second maybe. And then, Drew had to kind of overcome his situation. There was a time where he wanted to use the table, but he had to think differently because he would have, lost the title. He had to fight from underneath a lot, so it showed a lot of, showed him with a fighting heart and everything like that. And then, like you said, the Claymore there at the end was just a work of art. So this was a lot better than I thought it was. I thought it maybe went a little long, thought it could have been like a 10-minute match, and they still kind of could have accomplished a lot of this. But they had about 15 minutes, so, championship match, I guess you need a little bit more time to respect the champion.
Yeah.
So that brings us to Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt. Wyatt swamp fight. Two masked men, presumably members of the Wyatt family, attack Braun Strowman. He beats them back into the swamp, but someone hits Strowman in the back with a shovel. Strowman turns around and sees that it was him wearing the black sheet mask that hit himself with the shovel. Strowman wakes up chained to a chair in some kind of shack. Wyatt arrives with his lantern and welcomes Strowman home. Now, this has been like 7-8 minutes until this thing where Bray Wyatt makes his like official introduction. Like when Braun first pulls up, he's sitting there in a chair. And then when he goes over to attack him, he disappears. And then that's when all this other fighting starts. So here comes Bray up the thing with the lantern and the music playing. And Strowman says that he hates Wyatt for everything that Wyatt has ever made him do. Wyatt pleads with Strowman to understand that he is not Strowman's enemy. Wyatt says that humanity is a plague, but together he and Strowman could rule them all. Wyatt says that Strowman is a weapon, and he is the hand that wields it. Wyatt has to destroy the monster that Strowman has become in order for Strowman to become the monster he was meant to be. So someone walks up with a huge snake, aka Damien 2020, but everything goes dark as the snake strikes at Braun Strowman. So Braun wakes up next to a fire. Someone attacks him, but Strowman throws him into the fire. The attacker catches on fire, and Strowman simply laughs. A ghostly version of Alexa Bliss in a black veil calls to Strowman. She says that she knows he's always wanted them to be together. She says that he can come home, and they can be together forever. Strowman seems drawn towards the water to be with Bliss, but suddenly Bray Wyatt attacks him. Strowman throws Wyatt onto a boat, and the boat starts drifting away from the shore. The boat drifts back to the shore, but Bray is gone. Wyatt attacks Strowman from behind and tries to drown him. Strowman disappears beneath the surface of the water, but then emerges and pulls himself up onto a pier. Wyatt attacks with the shovel and repeatedly hits Strowman with the shovel. Wyatt seems almost remorseful, but Strowman rises and kicks Bray off the pier and into the water. Wyatt disappears beneath the water, and Strowman says that it's over. Suddenly, Wyatt's hand emerges from the water and pulls Strowman into the water with him. The water turns bright red, and the Fiend emerges. The Fiend stares into the camera, and I guess Braun Strowman has been drowned, and that is how Extreme Rules ended.
Funny thing about leading up to this match. So Bray was in there doing the Firefly Funhouse segment and he was talking about the footage that the scary footage that everybody's talking about. And the next thing you know, they show the karaoke segment for SmackDown. He goes, "Hey, you stupid rabbit! I know what you did." He said, "That's not the footage I had queued up." I watched that so many times the next day because that was just hilarious.
At least they can poke fun at themselves, I guess, for a segment that nobody was really a big fan of. What'd you think? Was this on par with the other Bray Wyatt kind of Cena matches? Or do you feel like it was too hard to follow?
It wasn't too hard to follow. You know, I mean, you know, with Bray, he is a student, literally, of the game because his father and everything. He definitely is a student of the game, so he knows how to have these played out. And did Jeremy Borash work on this with them? I forgot who worked on this with him and everything.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's Borash, him, and Bruce all getting high in the trailer together and then coming up with this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Because somebody was telling me, he said, "I'm going to have to drop some acid and or take some shrooms and watch these kind of matches when Bray's involved because there's a lot that goes on." And the fact that he brought up Alexa Bliss from the mixed tag challenge, that series and everything was kind of interesting too. I was like, anybody thought she was going to be Sister Abigail? I'm like, no. They talking about the whole mixed tag challenge. They was teaming up and everything, and they had that special thing going on. So I enjoyed it. I mean, I like how with each one, it just has a different element added on to it and everything. So, you know, this is pretty good.
What Bray Wyatt does is he does the one thing WWE normally doesn't do. He rewards you for watching and paying attention.
Right.
And being into all the storylines that he's been involved in. Because he usually has some type of callback to like, oh, okay. And then, you know, but if you just are a newcomer and you haven't really been invested in his character, then it kind of does seem too out there, like it's too inside. But if you've been rocking with Bray Wyatt from the beginning, then this is definitely you know, a manifestation of, yeah, let me continue to watch and be interested in all the little minute details.
Right.
I thought that this was a really good pay-per-view, man. I was pleasantly surprised.
A lot of us were.
I mean, regardless of what you thought the finish was from the Seth Rollins and Sasha Banks matches, the bell-to-bell action was very, very high quality.
It kind of made understood why they cut Hardy and Sheamus from the pay-per-view.
Right.
Because then that really probably would have drug down the feeling of the pay-per-view of how everything turned out, you know, because you finish on a high note with the swamp fight, and then, you know, it's like, where could you put that ball fight in at during the pay-per-view? So I can see why they are saving this for SmackDown this upcoming Friday.
Right. So all in all, good effort by WWE. I think a lot of people were shocked by just how good of a show this actually turned out to be, considering that, you know, a lot of people were going into it as like, I'm not really excited for it. But, you know, those are usually the ones that turn out to surprise you. And that definitely showed up here.
You're sitting there thinking like, I'm just going to watch it. And then you come away surprised at how good it is. Like, you keep your expectations low. And it's just like, oh, okay. Then it kind of surprised you with the result. So, kudos to them.
Something that shouldn't surprise you with the result is supporting the WrestleCast. Going over to the Patreon page at patreon.com/CSPN Media. Go over there, become a patron, listen to me and Miss Simi review AEW each and every week. This week, the members of the Dark Match are going to get a special treat. because none other than Mo to the underscore Reese recaps Slammiversary, TNA's biggest show. They had a lot of new faces and old faces as well show up. So become a member over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. Sign up for that extra content that you can only find from the WrestleCast. So now it's time to talk about Monday Night Raw. Raw starts by covering the whole eye for an eye situation. Seth starts out Monday Night Raw in the ring by saying that Ray's eye came out of its socket, and he wants to be honest with us. He understood going into the match what the stipulation meant, but what happened to him will stay with him for the rest of his life. The visual will stay in his memories forever. It was a disgusting, barbaric, and more than he expected, it made him sick to his stomach. He has asked himself if he regrets it, and he doesn't mean to be obtuse, but he has a question for us. Do we regret what we have done to him? This was not his decision. We were the ones who made him the Monday Night Messiah and demanded that he become this person. We made him. Do we regret what we've done to him and to Ray and his family? Speaking of Ray, let's remember who asked for this stip. It was Ray. Oh, let's first talk about during the pay-per-view, right after that match, right before Sasha came out, how Bayley was like, oh man, that was so disturbing. Just what we saw. He was like, you know, Ray, I don't know if you get a chance to see this.
Oh, yeah.
But then she swerved it and introduced Sasha. So, yeah, that was really good. Seth says, we cannot afford to dwell in the past. The beauty in all of this is that Ray is out of sight. The greater good of this show can and will happen, and there is nobody left to stand in the way. Aleister Black comes out. He tells Seth not to deflect any of this blame on anyone but Seth. This is all on Seth's hands, and right now, he is here to rectify all of this. So Black drops the mic and runs down the ramp. Murphy meets him and eats a kick in the chest. Aleister Black enters the ring. Murphy pulls him out and attacks. Seth barks orders as Black sends Buddy Murphy into the barricade. He sends Murphy into another part of the barricade and then kicks him in the chest again. He is able to stand tall in the ring, Aleister Black that is, as we go to commercial break. So then we come back and it's Seth Rollins versus Aleister Black. Seth grabs Black's right arm and he rings it forward, sending Aleister Black to the mat. We get a stomp to Aleister Black. Seth rolls over, then he rolls back over and he covers Aleister Black for the 1-2-3. This was a good match. It was long.
Starting to see that Seth and Aleister Black had good chemistry too in the ring.
Yes. This was a really, really, really good match. But after the match, Murphy and Seth run back to the ring and attack Aleister Black. They pull his arm through the bottom rope into the post and then slam the arm down hard on the mat outside. Seth asks, when is enough enough? And Seth grabs his arm and continually slams it on the announce table over and over. Then he lifts the lid and he tosses it on top of Aleister Black. Seth wonders who is here to save Aleister Black. Is it Humberto Carrillo? Where's Ray? Murphy sits on his back and holds his head up. Seth says Black's Messiah is here to save him. And then he curb stomps Aleister Black's hand. So I don't know if Aleister Black is hurt or he needs surgery or something, but this definitely looked like an injury angle. And, you know, somebody who's not going to be on TV for a little while.
No.
Backstage, Ron Simmons is telling MVP and Lashley that there is a better way. In comes R-Truth, and Truth calls MVP's title a pretty nice replica, then winks and calls him the champ. MVP says it would be awesome if R-Truth joined them in the ring. Truth says he doesn't want to be put in the Nelson from Simpsons again. Lashley says they will be joined by the new champ and brings in a ref. And then out of nowhere, Shelton Benjamin super kicks R-Truth and covers him for the 1-2-3. R-Truth had a big old frying pan in his hand. Never even raised it up to defend himself.
You didn't see it coming.
Could have used it as a shield or something. But anyway, MVP invites Shelton to the ring with him. In the ring, MVP wonders if we've been under a rock. Last night, he was crowned the new United States champion, and he didn't even have to break a sweat. He brings up a few weeks ago when Lashley hurt Apollo so badly, he stayed home to nurse his wounds. MVP don't make excuses, he makes history. He calls Ricochet and Cedric Alexander dumb and dumber, and says that when they get done with them, they're going to jump in their whip and head to the after party. Well, Ricochet doesn't like this nickname, but tells Cedric to get him. Cedric says Dumb and Dumber was funny in 2006 when MVP was relevant. Cedric says he and Ricochet have been champs before and they will do it again without the help of MVP. MVP says three grown-ass men are in the ring and he sees two little kids outside the ring that should still be sitting in catering. He wants to make it fair. He tells them to pick any two of them to face. But Ricochet and Cedric said they have another tag team partner, someone who is making their return to Monday Night Raw. And it's Mustafa Ali. Bobby Lashley runs out of the ring, gets super kicked by Ali, then double super kicked by Ricochet and Cedric. They run into the ring to send out MVP and Shelton, then springboard into the flip position with Mustafa Ali. So they look like the Avengers, basically. All right, your assessment of all of that I just ran down?
This putting the 24/7 title on Shelton gives him something to do.
And it gives him a legitimate champion in the Hurt Business. I mean, two champions in the Hurt Business.
Again, it gives him something to do. It gives him a title for his hard work and everything because, talking about something. Two legit champions. Until he pins Apollo Crews and he can get his hand raised, then I'll acknowledge he's the new champion. But until then, no, we're not going that route. But anyway, I had said that Mustafa Ali was quietly moving back to Monday Night Raw some episodes ago, and now they finally giving him something to do, and this is a good way to get him back on television because that whole hacker angle kind of just disappeared from SmackDown where everything started to happen and it wasn't just nothing else going on for him, so he just moved him to Raw and now he has something to do, so we see him in the match.
Before we talk about the match, I just want to reiterate that yes, Shelton Benjamin needs to get his flowers for his career in WWE. He's probably one of the more underrated talents to ever come through that company, especially his run in the early 2000s when he was with the world's greatest tag team and his singles run that came right after that, and also
Mama
being a part
played his mama
right, being a part of the greatest match in Monday Night Raw history where he springboarded into a Sweet Chin Music by Shawn Michaels.
Now here's the thing that I always wished that could have happened with Shawn Benjamin. Now they did the mama angle with him, which I'm like, okay, that was fine, whatever, but at the same time, Elijah Burke was still in the company, and he was doing the Pope gimmick. The origins of the Pope gimmick began in the WWE. Now, if they would use that Pope gimmick to kind of just say, "Hey, he's the Pope, and he is giving Shelton Benjamin a new leaf on life in the ring and everything," I could have helped them out, but they didn't go that route and everything. And so, like you said, Shawn Benjamin has been, very underutilized in WWE throughout his career. And he could have had a longer run because he's good friends with Brock Lesnar. And they boys. they like legit boys. So it was like, I don't know, but Shelton.
Brock obviously don't be looking out for his friends like Chris Jericho be looking out for his friends. See, there's the difference.
Yeah, There you go. And it was funny that when they was talking about if they need a female representation, Mia Yim was saying she volunteered as tribute.
Yeah, but if you ever listen to MVP's old podcast, oh my gosh, Shelton Benjamin gives Mia Yim so much shit. They talk so much shit to each other.
This is that thing though.
I give it to Bruce Pritchard. He stayed looking out for his folks from Houston, man.
You did say that. He said he's Houston folks. You got to keep an eye out for them.
Yeah. So that leads us to MVP Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin facing off against Ricochet, Cedric Alexander, and Mustafa Ali.
And now Benjamin trying to push the advantage here in this six-man tag team matchup and fights his way, driving Alexander into the corner of the Hurt Business. Tag made, back in comes the Almighty.
And the Hurt Business have completely cut off the ring. They have Cedric Alexander exactly where they want him, and trust me, they're beating him down something fierce.
Obviously,
there's a strong partnership, there's a strong chemistry between MVP Bobby Lashley.
Look at this.
And Shelton Benjamin.
Look at this power from Bobby Lashley. Oh! The stalling suplex rattling the bones of Cedric Alexander.
That's that all day long suplex, Tom.
That's an animalistic demeanor on the face of Bobby Lashley.
And this could be over the way Lashley's looking at Alexander, thinking about the spear right into the midsection. Tag made, here comes MVP.
That's no spear, that was a battering ram.
With a hell of a boot in the corner. Mustafa Ali, who's been away from competition in WWE for a number of months, finally getting an opportunity here on Raw.
And does it appear that Mustafa Ali has missed a beat?
Mustafa Ali, a man who's got a ton of heart, loves to compete. Oh, trying to light things up here on Raw. And now face first into the canvas, rolling into the X Factor. Here's the cover. Oh, kick out, and Lashley right on top of it.
And that is not a man that you want running in, breaking up anything on top of you. Watch Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley looking to dominate. And Mustafa able to evade.
And Bobby Lashley to the outside. And Ricochet. Cedric Alexander.
Lashley's got them both. Mustafa Ali sending Lashley over the announce desk.
It took the trifecta to do it, but Bobby Lashley went flying.
Lashley nearly knocked the desk over. And Benjamin takes out Alexander.
This is completely broken down.
Ricochet.
Ricochet wipes out Benjamin.
What grief.
There are bodies everywhere right now.
And Mustafa Ali, surveying the damage, rolls back inside. And a knee by MVP. And now MVP trying to capitalize on the chaos. Two legal men here in this match. MVP missed with the boot in the corner. Leaps into the neck breaker. And look where MVP is.
Ali's got to capitalize here and now. Ascending to the top rope.
Going up to the top. Has MVP in position. 450. Cover. Mustafa Ali and company get the win.
It was good that Mustafa got the pin coming back. You know, I thought he was going to figure him in the four announcer and have him tapping out, but he got the pin. So you know, Vince kind of sees the favor in him and everything. It was a pretty good match though.
All right, this is where we can talk about MVP. Just talk about just how good he's. I mean, from a guy who just kind of was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna come back and just be an agent backstage," and
had one or two matches
and a couple of on camera segments. Now the pandemic hit, and he's like the majorest of players on the
he's
show.
He's the man right now, and he's giving us quality entertainment television. He made Bobby Lashley. He took Bobby Lashley from that horrible Rusev and Lana storyline and brought him here, and he's giving him character. He's making him a legit badass. So it's like, okay, so now I can actually look at Bobby Lashley and say, okay, I can actually give a damn about what's doing in the record. If I see Bobby Lashley, he's like, oh, man, nobody want to see Bobby Lashley wrestle. But now MVP is working with him got that he's had like the mouthpiece for him and everything. I'm like, okay, I can appreciate Bobby Lashley for the heel that he is now. I don't have to sit there and roll my eyes and pick up the phone and play one of the games on my phone or something like that when he's on TV. I actually sit and watch the match and like, boo, get your trash ass off the TV or something like that. So MVP definitely is, and then he's adding Shelton Benjamin to the mix, so he's building that stable. He did an interview, I'll say, over the weekend, where he said he does want to build, he's trying to build a stable, you know, with his run and everything. So, you know, we got to let things, like I said, in wrestling, it's a marathon, so things got to build up. We can't give everything to us all at once, you know. We got to have something for that next week's show. So, I'm actually enjoying this as it's going along. Because it kind of gives us, like, what they're going to do next week. What's going to happen next week?
Yeah, big shout out to the Hurt Business. Definitely a highlight of Monday Night Raw in these times. So,
big... They get merch made. They get merch made for that day. You know they really are legit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Backstage, Randy Orton wonders if we ever think to ourselves about the moments that changed our lives. To some, we may think that Orton's moments are when he joined Evolution, or when he beat Mick Foley, or when he became the youngest champ in history. No, those are not the moments. The moment he is referring to is the same moment he sees every time he shuts his eyes. The moment is the one that happened 175 days ago when he swung a chair down on the surgically repaired neck of Edge. He made a lot of friends in this business. Those friendships were etched in stone, he thought, but they're not. They are done with and gone. Edge, Christian, Big Show, he swears that at one time they helped Orton save him from himself. What baffles him at the moment in history is that a moment in his history could have brought so much pain to so many different people, yet makes him and brings him so much satisfaction. It felt good. Fan-freaking-tastic. The night after, Christian came to his defense and Orton ruined his chance at one last match. And tonight, he will punt kick Big Show in the skull and enjoy immensely ending his career once and for all. Oh, sadistic his, Randy Orton.
His promos in the past couple of weeks has been really good. I know we talk about the whole, his old antics often on social media, things like that, but his promos in the past couple of weeks have been really good. This one especially was really good too. So, like I said, he's really going back to be that top heel in the company while everything is going on. And, you know, like, glad when I see when he's in his heel bag, he's definitely showed why he's one of the best in the company. One of the best in wrestling, period.
Yeah, man, for whatever his politics are, for his early antics as being just young and not really immersed into the business as he should be, Randy Orton has really grown into an all-time great. He's definitely at the top of his game right now. Just imagine if there were people here to actually boo him for all the stuff he's been doing.
I know that if it was really like we had like the fans and everything, it would really be some boos going raining down on him.
Oh yeah, when they did that first thing with Edge in front of a crowd, that might have went WCW. Somebody might have threw a cup of drink at him. Old school WCW at that. We get a little interview between Samoa Joe and Christian, who says that he will never look at Ric Flair or Randy Orton the same. He is not sure he will ever be the same. Joe asks about his health. Show is also in an unsanctioned match, and does Christian feel that this is just another trap by Randy Orton? Christian says that some days are better than others. He doesn't really feel that good, but he says he'd do it one more time if it guaranteed Orton could never do it again. He says Show has a lot of people in his corner, and Christian can't wait to watch Show knock Orton's ass out cold. Christian's backdrop, one of the best I've seen during this whole pandemic and people having to do stuff from their house. a lot of people just be setting up anywhere to do these video chats and Zoom conferences. But Christian, man, his like, he was sitting in front of his fireplace. It was symmetrical. It had the same decorations on each side, so it looked the same. It was good. Good staging. I guess that was only, you know, cool to me. But anyway, shout out to Christian and his wife.
I said it was cool. I like this, how this carries the story along, though, and everything. And, you know, Christian saying that how he was affected by being kicked in the head and everything. So it's just generally just moves the story along and everything. It's kind of like one of those, is Big Show going to knock out Orton, yada, 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 things right. like that.
Bianca Belair is backstage with Sherry Shriver. She wonders what we can expect from Bianca Belair. Bianca says that her rise will be quicker than anyone. She just wanted to put the thirstiest team in the locker room in their place. In comes Peyton Royce to send Sarah away and to call Bianca the dumbest. She should have found herself a better partner. In comes Ruby Riott, who says that they won last week. Peyton gives Bianca a tip. Talk less and think more before they wind up like Liv Morgan. Ruby says, don't be talking about my girl Liv Morgan. What you want to do? So Bianca likes what's in front of her, and she hopes Billy Kay enjoys watching Peyton Royce get whooped by Ruby Riott. So that leads right into the match. Ruby Riott versus Peyton Royce. Peyton Royce goes for a pin using the ropes. We get a jumping kick to the side of the head of Peyton. Ruby with the right kick out of nowhere, and she gets the pin for the 1-2-3.
Even your faves get beat.
They'd be disrespecting Peyton Royce. They need to put some respect on her name.
There was seeing Becky back on the backstage segment, you know. I thought she was going to be at ringside, but it was cool, though. And how she did something about, I can't.
At first, I thought she was going to wrestle Peyton Royce, and I really was about to have an issue.
I said, you really going to be torn with that one, like, Inky and Peyton, what's going on?
Yeah, luckily they didn't do it to me this week.
It's coming, though.
Yeah, you know it is. Backstage, Charlie stops Andrade, Angel, and Zelina. She wonders how they get on the same page considering they have a match next. Zelina stops them from answering. She says playtime is over. Both of them have been on the same page and they've been ready. Where are the Street Profits? They've been in hiding. Who knows? Maybe they'll win the match by countout. She says the champs are scared. Andrade says when this happens, they will be one step closer to becoming Raw Tag Team Champions. Garza says they've been waiting for this a long, long time. Garza is always ready for the opportunity. The anticipation is, and then the Street Profits come out the blind side and attack Angel Garza and Andrade and leave them laying. Shouldn't have been talking all that trash.
Yeah, shit.
This was actually pretty cool because it actually showed that the Street Profits can be serious.
Like, yeah.
It's like super, super serious. Like, it's not always fun and games.
Yeah, that's what, before Mickey got sent back to main event, she was just saying, like, you know, y'all need to be serious because y'all haven't beat the Street Profits, Viking Raiders yet. And, you know, she kind of put that bug in them, so it kind of came out. Because, you know, Zelina was like, they running scared and everything, and they got that smoke.
Yes, they did. So that leads into a tag team match, the Street Profits versus Andrade and Angel Garza. We get attacked to Garza, super kick to Dawkins. He runs up the ropes and holds onto Montez Ford looking for a superplex. Ford fights back with a huge right hand, sending Garza to the mat. And then we get a frog splash from Montez Ford, who does the RVD spin in midair, crashes down, and pins Angel Garza for the win. This was truly from the heavens this week.
Yes. That finish when Montez came out, jumped off in the mid-air, twisted, and then came down. And I was like, oh, all right now.
Yeah, Rob Van Dam is the only person I've ever seen do that. And he didn't get nearly as high as Montez Ford does on his frog splash.
And then here I'm saying, like, yeah, I see a barbershop window waiting, and then you come talking about something finally. I'm like, listen, I like Angelo Dawkins too, even though Angelo Dawkins been there for a long, long time. I'm just like, I like the tag team aspect, so I do want to see them have some success together before Montez Ford go off on his solo run and everything and being the man that he won't be. But on that, at least get some brothers having some tag team going to get a New Day on SmackDown. You know, can we keep that going, keep that running?
I'm just glad you finally see the light. That's really the biggest thing that I just took out of that little section of recap that you just gave. Finally, been trying to tell you for over a year that, you know, Dawkins is cool and he's along for the ride, but you know a star and you see a star when you see him, and Montez Ford is clearly a star.
I'm not denying that. I'm just saying, it's like, I like Angelo Dawkins too, but Montez Ford definitely. I've been sort of the star quality in it because of just how they, you know, he gets hyped up, majorly gets hyped up in the matches and everything. So, and anybody not hashtag, they're a big fan of him as well too. So definitely, like you said last week, it's the Black Shawn Michaels.
We get a recap of Sasha Banks winning the WWE Raw Women's title at Extreme Rules. Backstage, Zelina wants to know what the hell happened out there. She scolds her tag team. Garza tells her that they are on the same page, and Zelina says, prove it. Sasha Banks and Bayley arrive. Two women power trip time. Sasha says thank you, and Bayley demands respect for our new champion. Bayley shames their pettiness. Banks says that she's got this. She knows a lot of people have been talking about her, accusing her of stealing the title, but they either have a bad memory or a low-definition television. She said last night she fought for the title, unlike Asuka, who got the title handed to her. Becky handed the title to Asuka because Becky went to have a baby. It appears everyone forgot this, just like they forgot that last night Asuka spit green mist in that poor ref's face, almost blinding him. The ref couldn't continue, and Bayley didn't steal the shirt. She borrowed it because someone had to do it. Someone had to officiate the match. Bayley is our role model, and when she saw Sasha make the cover, she had to do the right thing. She made the count. She is not just Bayley those straps. She is our role model. Sasha says, we don't need to understand. She is the boss, the standard, and now she is two belt Banks, and they have all the gold. Asuka comes out. She isn't alone. Asuka comes out to cut a promo, then says that the title is hers. Sasha tells her, come and get it. As she's making her way down to the ring, Stephanie McMahon appears on the Titantron. She congratulates Bayley and Sasha, but calls her match last night a horror show. Steph says that she didn't win at Extreme Rules. Then again, neither did Asuka. Therefore, next week, they will have a title match to determine the rightful champion. And to be clear, Steph says, Sasha can lose via pinfall, submission, DQ, countout, or if a certain role model gets involved. Good luck. So Asuka and Kairi Sane ran into the ring. Bayley and Sasha leave. And that's pretty much the setup for what's going to come next.
Real quick. The ref that was the ref that got the money shot from Asuka in Extreme Rules, she was he was definitely in that first match on Raw, so he wasn't that much affected by that mist getting hit in his eye.
Oh yeah, the mist is kind of like when you get shampoo in your eye. You know what I'm saying? It's a bitch for, you know, when it first happens, but you'll be fine the next day.
Right.
So Bayley versus Kairi Sane. Kairi Sane hits the ropes and runs into a knee strike and a back suplex. Bayley goes to the top rope. She hits the big elbow drop, but she only gets a two count. Bayley then rushes Kairi Sane. She goes for the Bayley to belly, but Kairi Sane does this interesting little counter move into a roll up, and she pins the SmackDown Women's Champion clean in the middle. 1, 2, 3.
Which was shocking to me.
Now, the rumor mill is that next week, it's going to be the last time we see Kairi Sane on TV for WWE.
That's what I heard, too.
That she is, you know, things. Yeah, subject to change. Card subject to change. But as of this recording, that might have been the last match we saw Kairi Sane in. Unless, you know, whatever they taped for next week. But it was a hell of a way to go out, if she's going to go out that way. She had a really good match with Bayley. I thought for the first time since she's been in WWE in the last, like, week, it actually looked like she was having fun, that she enjoyed what she was doing.
Yeah, it's like when she got called up, she'd been the one taking the most of the falls in the matches. It's like she wasn't given the proper run on the main roster. It's like she was just the fall woman in the matches and everything. You know, so it was like, it was totally different from my NXT run after Asuka left.
Yeah. Paul Heyman, Triple H and Shawn Michaels, and with a little help from Road Dogg, they just book people better. They just book you better. And, you know, everybody who is an NXT alumnus who goes to the main roster, they have a whole rude awakening when they get this, you know, main roster booking compared to what they got at NXT. And I bet it's hard for a lot of them to enjoy wrestling on the main roster.
Right.
So Drew McIntyre is here to make an announcement on his future. He wants to hand it to Dolph. He did everything he could to beat Drew. He almost had him, but almost doing things as a story of Dolph's life. As for Drew, it's onward and upward. SummerSlam is coming, and he wants a worthy opponent. Out comes Ziggler. He says, Extreme Rules, he saw something in Drew he hasn't seen in a long time. He saw fear for the first time in his eyes that he can remember. Drew says, he just beat Dolph last night. Is that not enough? Ziggler says, the whole world saw them beat the hell out of each other. He saw that look, and he was this close to having that title. No one talks about what Dolph has done, what he deserves. Drew says, he beat him 24 hours ago. No, he doesn't deserve a match. Dolph says the look of fear was there because Drew knew Dolph was due. Drew says, he's embarrassing himself. Drew will save him the embarrassment. Drew is going to leave. Dolph tries to grab him, so Drew headbutts him to the ground. The answer is no, says Drew, and he leaves. Dolph tells him, don't walk away from me. Dolph says he deserves a rematch. He doesn't care when or where. Everyone deserves what's coming to Dolph. He wants the match. Drew says all the years of law school weren't wasted. Dolph has changed his mind, so Drew accepts. Dolph wants to know the stipulation of the match because he said he could choose it. Drew gives him the old Dolph treatment, saying he'll let him know when the bell rings. Any interest in this, sir? I'll say this for you. This was the part of the night that everybody just basically turned their TV off, because after Sasha Banks and Bayley came out there in the Kairi Sane match, it was like crickets in the hashtag. Like, oh, y'all done turned this off.
Yeah, it was like, come on, something. Oh, give you something. I watched it. I was just like, I guess, whatever. You know, we already know who is going to be next on, who's in the insight for Drew. His next challenge is going to be. It was just, you know, I'm like, this is crazy. You know, another match with Dolph next week, I guess. I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens then.
Big Show cuts the promo backstage, saying that him and Randy Orton used to draft together. They had a nickname for each other, Hammer and Chisel. It was their own nickname. They bonded a lot, talking about the complexities on how each one of them were presented in this business. They are like tigers that can't change their stripes. Orton has brought back that sadistic legend killer. He's got a boot with Big Show's name on it. Is this the end of the line for Show? It might be. But there's another saying about tigers. The tiger is the most dangerous and fierce animal when it senses the end, because it will do anything and everything to survive. Orton is not going to write the end of his story. So that leads us to our main event on Monday Night Raw, Randy Orton versus the Big Show in an unsanctioned match. Orton smacks Show's back with the chair. Show is down on the apron. Orton hits him again with the chair. Orton then hits the rope-assisted DDT. Orton tosses the chair to the outside of the ring, and then he gives Big Show the RKO, and he makes the pin for the 1-2-3. Big Show isn't so quick to get up, but he's able to get to his knees. Orton notices this, and he runs full speed, and he hits Big Show with the punt.
Yep.
And that is how Monday Night Raw ended. I was like, why did they need 15 minutes for this match? Why doesn't he just go ahead and kick him in the head already? That's what I was here for. Thankfully, he delivered, because I would have been so mad if this show would have went off without Big Show getting getting kicked in the head. Yeah, man. Sorry, I'm promoting like CTE and brain damage, but you know, if we're gonna get the Legend Killer, we need full on Legend Killer.
Right. Keep the story moving.
Up until the last probably like 25 minutes of this show, this was a hell of a Monday Night Raw. They had some good wrestling. They had some good matches. Had some good bell-to-bell action. They didn't have too much talking, even though it did get a little talk-heavy there in the third hour a little bit. But Bruce has definitely found a much better formula to the show than he had the first couple of weeks, where they was doing all that talking and not a whole lot of wrestling. Now at least they're talking and then following it up with the match. So I really like the way that this show flowed. You know,
yeah, it was kind of like, I don't know what happened. I was watching that last segment because you saw Angel Garza and Andrade come out to interfere, but then Viking Raiders came out there and ran them off. And then I kind of dozed off after that. And I looked up, the Psych movie was on, so I had to rewind it back to go see what happened, and I saw the punt, Orton punting Big Show. I was like, oh, okay.
Let me give you a contrast. The last couple of weeks, Sasha Banks and Bayley have been in the main event. Did you have any doze offs then?
No, not at all.
Exactly. There's a reason why they've been like main event and shit.
Well, I'm sure they're gonna get the main event next week, because that's why they holding off that title match. Until then.
And just like I said earlier in the program, more people will watch the Raw match, and if they make this title change, people will see the title change, which, you know, will have a greater effect than if they do it on the network where not as many people are tuning in. So a lot of times now, like I've said for quite a while, WWE books for TV. Pay-per-views really are just lead-ins to more weeks of TV.
That's what it do.
But like I said, overall, back-to-back nights of pretty good efforts. In-ring action was very, very good. When WWE lets their guys go and let them wrestle, I mean, they got the best collection of wrestlers in the business. But when they let them go and really let them do their thing and give them some time and don't try to hamstring them with too many stipulations or don't get too crazy with the booking, they put on a really good effort this week. So hopefully a lot of people appreciated that, and it leads to, you know, a couple more viewership points this week when it comes to Raw and SmackDown.
Exactly. That's where they're looking at the ratings, the numbers and everything.
We can just talk about the quick highlight for me on SmackDown. AJ Styles and Matt Riddle, Intercontinental Championship match. AJ Styles got the win. over Matt Riddle in a very hard-fought match. After the match, AJ shows the young boy some respect, shakes his hand. When he does shake his hand, that's when Baron Corbin, a.k.a. the Possum King, attacks Matt Riddle from behind, beats him down. And that's presumably where our next program is going, Matt Riddle and King Corbin. Sheamus and Jeff Hardy are going to have that supposed bar fight that we thought was going to be on Extreme Rules. It's going to be on this Friday's SmackDown. So again, the last few weeks, they've been kind of each week having these big matches, these big main events, and they've been promoting them for a week out to try to get more and more people to watch them. Very old school in that delivery. Definitely tell that's a Bruce Pritchard influence by letting people know what's coming up so they can have a whole week to get ready for it and be prepared and get their popcorn ready so they can tune in. I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it's very smart. The AEW, they've been doing it from the very beginning. I mean, people talked about Sonny Kiss versus Cody 2 days before it happened. The match happened, and they were talking about it 2 days after it happened. So there is a rhyme and a reason to promote your stuff and get it out there ahead of the time instead of just having that. I think they got too caught up in the unpredictability of the Monday Night Wars attitude era where anything can happen. So let's not announce anything and everything will be a surprise that happens. But now you need some things to draw people in. And then once they're there, you know, one or two things can happen out of the blue, like Shelton Benjamin joining the Hurt Business. You know,
right?
But don't try to make the whole show just one big surprise. I think that wears itself out really fast. So at this time, Mo to the underscore, is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything from SmackDown that you saw that you'd like to get in before we turn it over to you for your shout outs and thank yous?
No, everything's cool. I'm good with this week.
All right.
This big announcement is from Will Regal on tomorrow on NXT.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting to see what William Regal has to say. Hopefully it's a bombshell announcement. Hopefully it's not gonna just be something that's gonna be, you know, people gonna be disappointed by. But hopefully it is a very big deal and generates more excitement for NXT, because you know,
I mean, we got Karrion Kross and Dominik Dijakovic.
Dijakovic.
Yeah, we got them. They wrestling tomorrow, so that should be a good match.
Yeah, should be.
I forgot what's going on the AEW side. I don't know, tomorrow.
I forgot too. I think there's going to be Darby Allin versus Brian Cage, I think. Allin. Okay. Something like that. But yeah, I'm not 100% sold on what AEW's got going on. Cody's going to defend that title against somebody. I do know that. Oh, I know what it is. It's Butcher and Blade versus Young Bucks in a false count anywhere match. I know that's one of the matches.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
So that should be a lot of fun.
I don't know, but the real main event tomorrow, DMX versus Snoop versus on Apple TV. So I might
DMX versus Snoop.
Yes.
Ooh, that could be a draw. Well, you got the dog father brings Snoop's ratio down.
Well, dog father and probably his first No Limit album, I'm gonna say, but I'm not.
No. The first No Limit, the Cost to Be the Boss, that joint bangs. It's the Dog Father that's terrible.
The Dog Father, that was his last album on Death Row, so yeah. So that did kind of they did bring down they kind of took the aspect of what we had with Doggies down there.
No, but I'm gonna tell you a very underrated, because you know Snoop be putting out these albums and they kind of go underneath the radar. He made one called Kool-Aid after Beyonce made Lemonade. That's really good. That's really good. But
I'm like, so my Wednesday might be watching one on TV, having the Apple TV up on the other one, kind of like going back and forth.
Hey man, technology is a beautiful thing, man. You can have three different screens going at the same time, all with something different on.
You can just stream it and be like, oh, hey, I can watch all three. But it's just like, it's really, you watch it, one, you pay attention to that. You're giving them the ratings and stuff, but at the same time, it's just like, you kind of like, kind of keep your eye on both of them because something could happen, you know.
Nah, man, you should just watch one, record the other, do the me and Miss Simi thing. Just dedicate yeah. 4 straight hours of your evening to really good professional wrestling, and and you won't have any qualms, because if you try to do that switching back and forth doing commercial, you're gonna miss something good.
No, we don't do that no more. That's the 90s. That's passé. No, that's what I do. That's what I said. DVR one, like normally, like I will just watch AEW, and then just and DVR NXT, but the Great American Bash kind of had me like intrigued, so you know, but I don't know, I'll probably watch have AEW on and you know, just watch that, just have NXT with the DVR and watch that after the show is over and just see what's going on there. But
to share,
Wednesday night's gonna be real crazy.
To share your commentary with color on Wednesday nights, please use the hashtag NXTcast for NXT viewing and DynamiteCast. That's DYNO. Mitecast for your AEW viewing, and please share your commentary with color with the fans and hosts of the WrestleCast, the RawCast, NXT Cast, and the Dark Match. So at this time, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, it's your time for shout outs and thank you, sir.
All right, so shout out to you, Dawn, shout out to DD, Sam, Greg, Classic, Mel, that she gets her shout outs. Shout out to Jubilee Julep, Jay to the Max, Miss Simi. Shout out to Miss D. I'm gonna say that for another time, but shout out to them. All right, so shout out to everybody who's in the hashtag with us. Come join us, watch some wrestling with us. We're a very, very strong group. You know, you get new eyes that kind of peeks in on the product and everything. So, you know, come join and give us a comment type of color.
Thank you, Mo, to the underscore. I'd like to thank you for joining me here on this episode of The WrestleCast. I'd like to thank everybody who joined us this Sunday in the hashtag ExtremeCast. We definitely appreciate it. Thank you to all the usual suspects, everybody who's been rocking with The WrestleCast for the last 5 years. Also to anybody who has picked up the program here lately, we definitely appreciate you guys listening. Please share, pass it along with your friends, let them know what we're doing over here. I'd like to give a special shout out to the international listeners of the WrestleCast. We got some people that listen in Ireland and Egypt, United Kingdom. Ukraine, Pakistan, Indonesia, Singapore, Israel, Brazil. We were real big in Russia like a couple of weeks ago. I don't know what was going on with that.
Oh wow.
Specifically like Dublin, Ireland, they've been messing with us strong. Cairo, Egypt, they've been messing with us strong. Tel Aviv. So yeah, definitely shout out to all the international listeners of the WrestleCast and also the patrons. I'd like to give them a big shout out as well for sponsoring the podcast over and supporting the podcast over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN. Again, tune in to the Dark Match. Candid conversations, before and after conversations that we record before each and every recording of the WrestleCast, RawCast, NXTCast, Cast of Strong Style, and SmackDown Matters. So, for my host, Mr. Mo to the underscore, I'm Don DeLaRente. This has been episode 285 of the WrestleCast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Mustafa Ali, good to see your face back here tonight. How sweet was it to kick off your return to Monday Night Raw with a victory?
Bittersweet. I've been gone for nearly 7 months now. And for those 7 months, every day I looked in the mirror and tried to figure out what was wrong with me. Instead of blaming other people, instead of becoming a victim of circumstance, I looked in the mirror and decided that I would better myself. And I just proved that right now. I showed up unannounced on Raw in a 6-man tag against some heavy hitters. MVP, Shelton Benjamin, Bobby Lashley, and who walked out with the W? Me, Ricochet, Cedric Alexander. This is the future of the WWE standing right before you. I'm glad to be back. I need to make up for a lot of lost time, and it started tonight.
Awesome, congratulations.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.